Hey, welcome to Chaotic Music Meetings on CITR 101.9 FM. Usually I broadcast this show from our station on Musqueam territory, but this time I am pre-recording on the traditional unceded and shared territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. What you're about to hear is a performance and interview with local punk Devours, a.k.a. Jeff Kincaid, and this was recorded as part of CITR's Day of Pride programming on August 1st. But Jeff and I both forgot about that and kept plugging a queer showcase that we're playing on July 29th. So if you're listening to this after July 29th, sorry for the confusion. We have a lot of content recorded, and I'm going to do my best to fit it into an hour, so let's get started. Cheers.
Hey, I'm Devours. That song was called Garnet Graves, and the next one is called Freddy Krueger Honeymoon Suite. This next one is called Jason Voorhees Salon and Spa. Are you around still? Okay, this next song is from my last album called Late Bloomer, and the song is called Jazz by Thor. Okay, you are still listening to Devours, and this is my last song. It's called Pink Hat. Thank you, Miles, for having me.
I will be the one to love and cover you from now until the day I die. The day I die. The day I die. The day I die.
The day I die.
Die.
The day I die. The
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
CITR and Mint Records have released their biannual collab, Pop Alliance Volume 5. This glamorous record features staple Vancouver artists, Devours, Swim Team, Lord Fuckerman, Chris Horrific, and so many more. Get your copy for only $15 on iTunes or at the Mint Records store now.
This is Chaotic Music Meetings. I'm very excited because this is a pre-record. We're not doing this live from the studio. I'm actually in the home of Devours.
Hi!
A.K.A. Jeff Kincaid. Jeff, thank you so much for inviting me here to your house. I'm sitting on the edge of your bed right now talking to you.
Yeah, very intimate. Thank you, Miles, for having me on your show. Hi, CITR. I am Jeff.
Great. Perfect. We're well on our way. And Jeff just performed for me here with his live setup in his home. So I'm in Devourer's Land right now. Recently treated to a stellar intimate performance.
Thank you.
Thank you. And already, like, I don't know where to start because I'm a fan of yours and I've been wanting to hang out for a while. This is really the first time that we've got to hang out one-on-one.
Yeah.
And have like a real conversation.
Yeah.
How's it going so far? How do you feel?
I'm great. Are you having fun?
I'm having a blast. I'm eating your blueberries. I'm drinking your juice.
Yeah, cool.
You have such wholesome snacks.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should just dive into it because I have so many questions for you, and I'm so interested in what you do.
Let's do it. Late bloomer.
Late bloomer.
Sorry. Yeah.
Late Bloomer is an album that you put out in 2016.
Yeah.
And that, just the image of the cover and the title, Late Bloomer, says so much immediately. What can you tell me about the title?
Yeah, the album title is a reference to my coming out as gay at a slightly older age for my generation, I guess. And it also... is a reference to me coming out as an artist in the Vancouver music and arts community, because most people here in the scene get their start younger, you know, like late teens, early 20s. And I grew up on Vancouver Island, lived in Montreal for 3 years, and then moved here in sort of like my mid to late 20s. And then it took me a handful of years to meet anyone in the music scene. And so, yeah, when I put the album out, I think I was 30, and that, I guess, is, like, a little bit old to be coming into, like, the music scene. And so, yeah, that's what the album title is.
Cool.
Referring to, yeah, it works on both of those levels.
Yeah. Actually, you saying that you lived on Vancouver Island reminded me that we went to the same high school.
We did. We just found that out.
NDSS High School, shout out.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like we have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't come out as queer until I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I really relate to the image of blooming. And you say that it's like it's related to coming out as gay and also coming out as a musician, like starting to make music for the first time.
Yeah, not so much making music for the first time. I've been making music since I was a kid, but just in terms of like creating a new identity for myself as like a public persona and as a performer, that's the major thing. Like I have worked as a background composer for certain things, I guess, like I've made some stuff for TV commercials and for documentaries and stuff like that. But in terms of actually performing, like making my own songs and performing, I just could never book shows before. Yeah, I just like couldn't meet the right people. I didn't really have the right sound for Vancouver. And it just took a long time to like have to meet someone who would take a chance on me.
Really?
In Vancouver. Yeah. And so I think that, yeah, it's more about like performing,
right,
I suppose, and rather than like starting to make music. But
and that's a very different thing, like making music and recording music and actually performing and like getting involved in the music community in Vancouver.
Yeah,
that's a pretty huge change.
Yeah I think, yeah, like I've always basically been a bedroom musician, and then when I lived in Montreal, I think I was maybe like between the ages of 22 and 25 I was there, and I had a different project at the time, like a different stage name. I was making sort of like experimental a cappella music, and then I had a separate side project where I was basically like a one-man grunge project band or whatever. And so yeah, like my music didn't sound like what I'm doing for Devourers nowadays, but I was really like gunning for it in Montreal. I was trying to perform and trying to like be a part of the community there, and again, I just don't think that I was maybe like mature enough. I don't think that I like had cool enough clothes. I didn't really fit into the scene. I was too young. I just, yeah, it's a long story, but I did manage to perform a little bit in Montreal. I played a handful of shows here and there, but not really enough to get comfortable and build any confidence as an actual performer. And so yeah, like years went by and I was just sort of making mixtapes in my bedroom that no one was hearing. And then, yeah, with Late Bloomer, thankfully the tides turned and I started to play shows. And so, yeah, that's been a big learning curve.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's just learning how to actually engage with a crowd.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And it was cute when I got here, you seemed a little bit nervous about the setup and how we were going to record, just because you told me, like, you don't really know gear very well.
Yeah.
Which surprised me, because you've got a ton of gear and it's really nice and you clearly know how to use it. Like,
thank you.
Honestly, I hope to one day be as proficient as anything as you are with your gear setup.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So I think the funny thing, is that I suppose, like, I am an electronic musician. A lot of the stuff that I make is through MIDI and through my synthesizer and through a computer and everything. But I don't really listen to a lot of electronic music and don't see myself, I guess, as much of an electronic musician. I don't know. This is just like a phase in my life where I'm focusing on doing electronic stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, it was more of like experimental stuff or vocal stuff, or I can play a bit of guitar. I grew up playing the drums as well. And so, yeah, I suppose maybe that's why I'm not like a whiz kid with like gear and electronic stuff, maybe, is because, yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
This is like the phase you're in now.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, like growing up, I made a lot of music on my keyboard, which I still have. Actually, it's the keyboard that I use to perform everywhere. It's the keyboard that I grew up with. And so, yeah, so like I have a little bit of experience with like programming and layering sounds and stuff like that on my keyboard, just from the stuff that I made growing up, but yeah, not a gearhead. Yeah.
And Late Bloomer came out in 2016, and it's if you bloomed in 2016, are you still blooming?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to think of like a good answer for this. Yeah, because like when I made, there's like the cheesy answer of being like, we're always blooming and we're always growing as people, which I do believe.
Sure, yeah.
But I think that like when I made the album, I was definitely fully out and comfortable with being gay. I had been in the gay community for a handful of years. And yeah, so like a lot of the lyrics are about, you know, like relationships and sex and longing for guys that I can never have and stuff like that. And I think that maybe the whole idea of like queerness is actually more new to me than anything, because I've always identified as gay and cisgendered. And I know that that's like within the rainbow, and I do identify with like queer politics and everything like that. And so, yeah, like on dating apps and stuff, I put myself down as queer now. And I think that in the last like year or two, I've tried to make efforts to learn about like, what does the word queer mean in 2018, you know? And so, yeah, like maybe just learning more about like the community, the different people within the community, and about like how I present myself to the world. But maybe that's why I guess I'm still blooming. Mm-hmm. Did that answer make any sense?
That's a great answer. Cheers.
Okay.
Yeah, and speaking of queerness, you're going to be performing at this queer showcase on July 29th.
Yeah, the event is called Pride Tongue Tied, and it is put on through, I guess, CITR?
You bet.
Yeah, and it is starring Kim Mortal, Sorry Edith, myself, in a band that you may have heard of, Miles, Pale Red.
Oh, don't be cheeky. Yes, I've heard of them.
Okay.
They're all right. that's going to be a beautiful show.
Yeah, please come. It is at East Side Flea Market?
I guess East Side Studios. East Side Warehouse.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've settled on like fully on a name yet. It's got a few names, like the new Redgate.
Yeah, I still haven't been to the East Side Studios, so that'll be cool to see the space. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully people come. It's part of Queers and Beers.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, and it's all, like, queer-identifying bands involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, this is great. And I think, like, queerness is a new thing to me, too. Like, I came out as queer when I was 25, and I'm 28 now. And it seems very subjective. Like, there's... when I came out, I was kind of... well, I had been with, like, exclusively with women until I was 25. Like, that's who I thought I was solely attracted to. And it took me until I was 25 to sort of figure out, no, there's definitely a lot more going on with my sexuality than mm-hmm. that. Like, I think when I was growing up, around me there was... I grew up with quite a lot of positive gay influences around me and gay people that I knew and who were very supportive. But I guess because I wasn't, like, exclusively gay or exclusively straight, mm-hmm. I didn't really know where I fit in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so queerness to me means that, like, it's... It's just more of an open term. Like, I don't really feel... I don't really feel like I am part of the gay community because
right, yeah.
I'm not exclusively homosexual. But... So I've always had this sort of weird, like, I'm an in-between person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, like, I... when I first moved out of home later on, like, I lived in the city, and I come from this, like, the kind of country-esque
yeah.
little tiny island. So I felt like I was in between the city kids and the country kids,
okay,
and I didn't
yeah.
feel like a hippie or a redneck. I was somewhere in between those two. Like, there are all these sort of dichotomies that get set up in your life that make you think, like, oh, I have to choose one or the other.
Absolutely.
And I really couldn't. And I, just, yeah. it took me a long time to figure out who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And I'm still figuring it out.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. Like, I didn't really have any, like, gay role models growing up in Nanaimo at that time. I was very, very in denial about my sexuality for a long time. And it's hard to not be ashamed of that, you know? I think that by, at the end of the day, we all need to just, like, own who we are and be proud and out. And, yeah, like, I just couldn't do that for, like, a long time. And I spent my 3 years in Montreal just sort of, like, slowly but surely, like, coming out and accepting myself and didn't do anything with anyone in Montreal, which is, like, a very, very gay friendly city. And so, yeah, like, when I first moved to I was 25 when I moved to Vancouver and came out to my sister a week before I moved here. Mm. And so Vancouver was, like, my big, like, I'm gay experience of, like, meeting people. I didn't know anyone when I moved here. And so that was my community for a few years, was meeting people. And yeah, so I think that I was trying to find some sort of identity, I guess, because I didn't really feel like I fit, like, the gay stereotype, the few that we saw on TV growing up of, like, this the flamboyant, you know, like, pretty boy type guys who are fantastic, but I just didn't feel like I fit that box exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't really have gay people in my life very much that were out growing up. And so, yeah, I sort of discovered the bear community in Montreal, and then yeah, was, like, very much a part of that scene, like an active part of that scene, was going to events and stuff. And yeah, like, so for a handful of years I felt like I was a part of the bear community in Vancouver. Have you heard of the bear scene?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah. And so yeah, after being a part of that community for a few years, I felt, how do I say this, it was a little bit superficial. There are lots of fantastic people in that community. There's definitely pressure to, like, have a beard and to be hairy and to be an exact type of, like, body size and weight. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like the music scene. It's all kind of superficial. And so, yeah, I was ready to break away from that. I felt a lot of, like, body, like, I was struggling with body image because I always have struggled with body image, and I felt like it wasn't really healthy for me to try to like mold myself to like be attractive and fit in with this like group of people or this community. And so, yeah, I think that like late bloomer for me, and like the imagery that went into late bloomer and like wearing a dress and stuff, it felt very much like a punk moment in my life. And I do see myself as a punk musician because I just sort of do what I want and don't care about like what is trendy. But yeah, so that was like a big moment for me to break away from my friends and the people in that scene and to just embrace being more feminine and to like, yeah, wear more feminine clothes and to just be like, whatever, that is me. And so yeah, that was like an important like phase of my life that I guess I'm still going through a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, it's hard to like find your scene when you don't, when you're still finding yourself.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And it, and I guess like I've always, I to some extent I fantasize about the gay scene in Vancouver, like, and the, like the Davie Village, and but I don't go there very often. I haven't been getting involved in it, partly because I find it very intimidating. And
yeah, and honestly, it can be like, I don't want to say anything bad about the scene, but it can be a little bit judgmental towards like bisexual guys or like people who are just identify as queer. You know, there are a few bars on Davie that are just like very, very gay. It's mostly just like straight up homos. And so yeah, like it's maybe not like the most welcoming like scene to like people who feel like they're in between, but there are lots of people who are very accepting too. I don't want to like discourage anyone from like exploring or just going to bars and stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's, but yeah, it's kind of, yeah, some people are more judgmental and some people are more accepting. It's like anything in life.
Yeah, people are people.
Yeah.
And especially when like a group of people has like come together out of solidarity to support one another, like there needs to be a gay scene.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't identify like strictly as gay, then you know there's usually like, I think at most of these places you can go and be welcomed, but it's a matter of like feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
And I grew up with a lot of internalized shame because I didn't understand that I was queer, and so it's that takes years to really like get over, like to get comfortable and get proud.
Oh yeah, it's taken me, yeah, like I've been out for I guess 8 years now, and a good number of those years was spent, yeah, just like trying to let go of like 25 years of internalized homophobia. Seriously, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years. Yeah, it takes years.
I feel like I came out 3 years ago roughly, and I feel like I'm a 3-year-old queer, like I'm a baby queer.
Okay. Yeah,
that's how I've been looking at it lately, like just that's what I'm working with. I'm very new to this. I'm learning. I'm still getting on my feet as
cool.
a queer.
I'm glad that you came out. I'm not sure what to say.
Likewise.
Yeah, welcome to the,
it's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad that we are both under the rainbow.
Great.
There is a place for all of us. I feel like that's an important like message, I guess, not to sound cheesy, but yeah, like there are lots of different people within like the LGBTQ plus community, and some people still don't feel like they fit in to the scene, I guess you could say. But yeah, I really feel like there's a place for everyone.
Yeah,
and like we're all kind of the same in a way.
And some things are cheesy to say, even like, but they're so beautiful. Like it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that if people think it's cheesy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good place for that stuff.
Cool.
Can you tell me about like who in your life made it easier for you to come out, or like what artists did you see that were like expressing queerness or gayness, and like who did you see who you were like, yes, that?
Good question. I don't really have an answer. Actually, yeah, like if I think about like celebrities or people like in the art, the music world or whatever, I just, yeah, like maybe when I was like, if I was in my early 20s and there was like a gay bear with like who was really hairy or something like that, who like made it big in the indie scene or something, then I'd be like, oh, that's someone who's really similar to me. I can make it too. But like I didn't ever have that, I guess. But yeah, there are lots of fantastic LGBTQ musicians out there. I guess I just didn't have like a direct like inspiration for queerness.
Did you have like a direct inspiration for this album, Late Bloomer? I mean, I ask because I always wonder about lyrics and how people write lyrics and how people integrate lyrics into songs. And you have this, like, what I think of as like a really beautiful marriage of the lyrics and the sounds that you're making, where they just go together in such a like emotionally satisfying way.
Thanks a lot.
And it's personally satisfying to me. Like, I find your music really nourishing.
Wow. Thank you, Miles.
Thank you. So I wonder if, like,
I didn't really have, like, an exact, like, inspiration for this album, but I'll be honest, I wanted the Vancouver music scene to be more gay. it's a really straight scene.
So you had a mission.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I didn't, like, there have been many gay, like, artists before me, so I didn't necessarily feel like I was breaking the mold or anything like that. But I just sort of looked around at the scene and felt like there was something missing. And I felt like I'd had, you know, a lot of experiences and stories to share with people. And I just, I don't know. I have no regrets. I'm glad that I put myself out there. But yeah, I think that the scene is very, very welcoming to people who identify as queer. I think there are lots of allies. I think that it's a little bit trickier being like slightly older in age than a lot of the people in the scene. And I think that it's also a little bit hard making a style of music that isn't really like trendy for the city, you know, like for anyone who isn't making like indie garage punk rock, whatever is happening right now. It's really hard. But I think that in terms of my like sexuality, people have actually been really, really supportive. Maybe I am like one of those like tokens now, like I'm finding opportunities because I'm like a token, like a person on a bill.
That's always a danger around here.
yeah. And I mean that even, this is getting into, like, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but yeah, for like Music Waste this year, I was part of the Queer Music Showcase. And that I'm really glad that Music Waste put that like effort in. The bill was awesome. Lots of really cool bands. I got to play with lots of great bands on that bill, but yeah, like I sort of wondered, is this sort of like token-y to just be like, oh, I'm going to get put into a box of like, I'm going to play the queer showcase. And I had to just question, you know, like, is this idea dated? Is it needed in Vancouver? Do I want to be labeled necessarily as like a queer artist? And then I decided yes to everything. Like, Vancouver does need more representation. I'm very happy to be like visibly gay, I guess you could say that. My next album is definitely more like defiantly queer and gay than my last album.
More punk.
Yeah. I think like with Late Bloomer, that was a tricky thing for me because I wanted to build an audience and I wanted to connect with as many people as possible. And so for a lot of the songs that were about relationships, I wouldn't necessarily say like, use the pronouns to like reveal that I'm talking about a man or something like that. I tried to keep the lyrics kind of like universal. And then on like newer music that I'm making and on my next album and everything, I'm just like, whatever, fuck it. I'm just like, yeah, the lyrics are like very obviously about like gay sex and relationships, and it feels awesome. You know, it's 2018, just own it. I'm very happy and proud to be like, like visible and not just be like trying to appeal to everyone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the boy next door. I'm not a mainstream person. I'm someone who, I guess, is part of like a minority group, and I'm happy to just like sing for my people, I guess. I don't really know how to describe it. But I think I'm learning to own that more instead of just being like, oh, I need to appeal to the masses. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's lame.
I think that's part of why I find your music nourishing, is that like, not because I see what you're doing and I relate to it, which I kind of do to some extent, but because I see that you are an individual, like expressing yourself as an individual. And it's very distinct. It's very like, it's not like anything else. And that is what is nourishing to me. Like, it's just...
Cool, thank you.
It feels so good to hear people really representing themselves and proud. Proud of
awesome.
Who they are.
Cool. That makes me very happy to hear. I'm glad that it's kind of like coming off the way that I want it to.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're doing great work.
Thank you.
Maybe we should take a little break right now, because I do want to play a song or two and then get back into this.
Sounds good.
Cool. Okay, well, you're listening to Devours on CITR. We'll be right back.
Nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. F*** me.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
Welcome back to Chaotic Music Meetings on CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh my god, you even got the station ID perfect.
You're listening to Devours, and now I'm turning the tables on Miles. So Miles, let's talk a little bit about the Vancouver music scene.
Ooh.
What's something that you like about the scene, and what's something that you wish could maybe be a little different?
Ooh, oh, huge question.
Yep.
great. What I like about the scene is that it is always shifting. Like, it goes through some periods of like, yeah, this is great, there are so many DIY spaces available to play. And it goes through phases where people are really scrambling to find even a place to jam.
Yeah.
Like, you really feel the gentrification around here as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I do like that, because I like that people are constantly on the lookout for new venues and new DIY spaces and just, like, accessible, affordable places to play.
Mm.
So there are so many musicians here, and they're all underpaid.
Yeah.
But they're not underplayed. Like, there's a lot of opportunities, and it means that every musician in town pretty much is basically always on the lookout for new venues.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who've been doing this a long time are starting to get together and collect and, like, talk about, hey, what are we going to do with the next 5 years? Like,
okay, yeah.
What are we going to do when, you know, venues keep shutting down?
Mm-hmm.
Developers keep muscling people out. So it's the possibility. Like, there's just so much, there's a tremendous sense of possibility all the time, even when it feels like you have no options.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It's just a matter of perspective, I think. And I'm coming from a very, like, privileged point of view, like, so I can understand that people might even resent me talking about this, just because, like, I'm not as at risk as a lot of musicians here.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I think that, yeah, what you just mentioned is interesting, because I think that people, like, if I commented on it, then people would maybe resent me, because I'm not really jamming with people, right? Like, I just sort of make music in my apartment, and that is it. But yeah, it's interesting talking to you, because you are in a band, and these are very real issues of, like, rehearsal space, or, like, and so, yeah, that's a very good point that you made. Is there something, just, like, in terms of the music itself, that you want to see change in Vancouver, or do you really like the music that's being made here?
Oh, I wouldn't change a thing musically, because, like, there's so much variety of music here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm constantly finding out about new bands who are playing music that I've never heard before. Like, I don't pay a lot of attention to genres. I just sort of take each band as they come and, like, try to describe their music as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's no end to, like, the kinds of music that are being created here or will be created here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when I first moved here, I didn't necessarily have, like, the greatest opinion or view of the Vancouver music scene. Most of what I was seeing was just sort of, like, the trendy indie rock things happening. And then I had to really dig into, like, the underground scene a little bit more to find out that there is something for everyone. There's every type of music that's being made here, like, at all times. But I just want to commend Music Waste and the organizers for, like, I did, notice a shift a handful of years ago where they tried to, like, broaden the festival, and there's a, like, yeah, like, minorities are better represented now, and, like, genres that aren't necessarily, yeah, getting a ton of, like, play or whatever are being represented a little bit better. And I think that, yeah, so Yeah, I don't even know where I'm going with this. But yeah, I really like it too. But in the past, I just didn't, feel like certain like organizations were like representing like all the different types of music that are made here. But yeah, like in the last few years, I feel like the scene is awesome. There's so much good stuff here. There's tons of talent. So,
and Music Waste is a big one for like, it's put on by largely by musicians and people who are working in the music scene, who have been working in it for years and who are used to the struggle of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
And they're all, you know, like, they're on different levels of privilege, I guess. It's all pretty relative, but, and I can't, like, I'm not going to call people out. that's not for me to judge. But it is people who are, like, who are trying, who are, like, really attempting to, like, inclusive spaces.
Yeah, yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, I think that a lot of these people have their, like, hearts in the right place, and that is awesome, and I'm really proud to be a musician here. Next question. I'm racking my brain out. Who were a few of your favorite artists and bands when you were in like grade nine?
Ooh, grade nine. Oh, please. Actually, can we pick another year? Because that was an embarrassing phase for me.
I have all my answers locked in. Okay. You can. Yeah, I was love with Limp Bizkit.
Okay,
like, loved it. I loved Korn. Oh, yeah, I still I cite nu metal as like a huge influence on my own music. Actually, cool. I still listen to it sometimes, unironically. I love Slipknot. I loved Britney Spears.
Yeah, I love Britney Spears too.
Yeah, love pop music.
Okay, well, I won't shy away from this question then.
Good. I have no shame. Go for it.
Control over this for a reason. Okay, well, it was a real odd mix. When I was a kid, I was called odd a lot.
You were what, sorry?
I was called odd a lot.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
And I feel like I was into all kinds of things. My main influences when I was 14, I guess, was ninth grade, would have been the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay. Californication or the album after?
Oh, like Blood Sugar Sex Magik and the Uplift Mofo Party Plan.
Interesting. Okay, so like the slightly funkier, like late 80s, early 90s
very,
stuff?
Very funky.
Okay.
But also like Led Zeppelin. I had a really brief like hip-hop phase where I was trying to convince myself that I was a hip-hop person, and I'm just not.
Okay.
So that's why it was an embarrassing phase for me. I was walking around high school with a toque with a pot leaf on it.
Yes,
I did not smoke pot at that time. It was a real, like, it was me trying to look cool.
Yeah, I hear
you. That's a big part of being 14, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good answer.
Those are not bands I listen to anymore, but they definitely had a big impact on me at that age.
Yeah, it's all good. If we're just looking at music that's been released in 2018, do you have a few favorite like records that have been released this year? It doesn't have to be local. It can be anything. Like, who have you been listening to?
The top of my list and the person who I always listen to the most is Shitlord Fuckerman. So whatever Shitlord has out at the time that you're listening to this, go and scoop that up. It's great stuff. Yeah, I've gotten really into this whole like indie rock scene that kind of bloomed out of Redgate mostly.
Okay.
So I've been playing places like Redgate for the last 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
So I love all the local bands. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Who else can I give a shout? I'm trying to plug my friends who like maybe don't get as much representation as say the, like those sellouts from Dumb or that's a joke. I love Dumb. Tink and Pete and the Lost Boys are a great band to check out.
You recommended that I check them out a little while ago and it was worth it.
Oh, cool.
Very good.
Yeah. And especially good if you can catch them live. I have it on authority that they might be moving out east, catch them while you can, if you can. Who else? I love Jock Tears. I love Necking. I love, all the sort of like punky bands who don't sound like anyone else, but who are trying to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like weirdo expressionism.
Yep. Awesome. Cool. Outside of Vancouver. Here's a question for you. Do you listen to a lot of stuff coming out of Toronto and Montreal? Do you feel like you're up on sort of like what's happening in those cities? Or
no? I'm definitely not up to date.
Okay.
I don't know. Actually, as music director at CITR, I'm starting to get more up to date.
Right. Yeah.
That's my job now. and it's funny to have like a music director who is like doesn't really pay attention to genres. Mm-hmm. And who most of the stuff I listen to is from the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know who was shortlisted for Polaris this year?
Oh, not off the top of my head. I've got the list on my computer.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't meaning to like quiz you. I just wanted to ask who you thought would maybe win this year. But it's okay if you don't have
that. I don't know. And I don't even like, I'm not even focused on it. Like when I got the email that said like the Polaris long list and the Polaris short list, I was like, I can get to that eventually. Cause like my job now is looking out for underrepresented bands and trying to showcase the people who don't get a lot of media attention.
Yeah.
So when big organizations or big groups or like people who are getting a lot of press send me stuff, I'm like, okay, I might get to that.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think that's good. We can call it there.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn the interview back on myself and shamelessly promote some of these shows that I have coming up. One of them is with Miles and his band Pale Red. So that is this upcoming Sunday, July 29th at Eastside Studios. And then the day before, I have a show, which I think is free, downtown at Mole Hill. I'm playing the Mole Stock.
That looks like an amazing block party.
Yeah, with Me Gang.
I can't remember exactly what it's called either, but the mole party.
Yeah, yeah. So it's for the Mole Hill Community Housing Society, and I'm gonna play maybe at like 4 in the afternoon or something. But it's also with Kimmortal, and it's with someone named Me Gang. I think that's maybe how you.
Me Gang.
Me Gang.
Me Gang, like Megan, but. Gang.
The gang. Yeah. The gang. Okay, yeah, so you can come to that if you are downtown. And yeah, that is all for now.
Cheers. Thanks for interviewing me, Jeff.
You're welcome. It was great.
This was a delight.
Bye.
Celebrate Pride 2018 with CITR FM. Tune in August 1st to hear 12 hours of LGBTQIA2S+ content from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can listen in on 101.9 FM or at citr.ca.